Okay. I call the Wednesday, November 18th, 2015, Taney County Board of Adjustment meeting to order. First item on our agenda is establishment of a quorum. Mr. Ashley?
Okay. Sean Pingleton.
Present.
Tom Gideon. Tony Mullen.
Present.
Mark Weiss.
Present.
And Alan Lawson.
Present.
We have established a quorum.
Okay. Thank you. Next is our governing statutes.
Per the requirements of the Missouri Revised Statutes, the Board of Adjustment shall have the following powers, and it shall be its duty, whereby reason of exceptional narrowness, shallowness, shape, or topography, or other extraordinary or exceptional situation or condition of a specific piece of property, the strict application of any regulation adopted under Section 64.845 to 64.880 would result in peculiar and exceptional difficulties to or exceptional and demonstrable undue hardship upon the owner of the property as an unreasonable deprivation of use as distinguished from the mere grant of a privilege to authorize upon an appeal relating to the property a variance from the strict application so as to relieve the demonstrable difficulties or hardships provided the relief can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good and without substantially impairing the intent, purpose, and integrity of the zone plan is embodied in the zoning regulation and map.
And Mr. Lawson was so excited he forgot about number one and number two. I will read those. To hear and decide appeals where it is allegedly there is an error of law in any order, requirement, decision, or determination made by an administrative official in the enforcement of the county zoning regulations. To hear and decide all matters referred to it or which is it is required to determine under the zoning regulations adopted by the county commission as herein provided. Henceforth, what was provided. So,
gotcha.
Okay. Explanation of public hearing procedures.
All right. I'd like to welcome you this evening to the November 18th, 2015, Taney County Board of Adjustment public hearing being held in order to hear four variance requests. The Board of Adjustment hearing process is governed by the provisions of the Missouri Revised Statutes, the Taney County Development Guidance Code, and the adopted Board of Adjustment bylaws. Public hearings are held on each variance or appeal request, which is filed with the Planning Department. At this time, I wish to place the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A, the Taney County Floodplain Management Ordinance as Exhibit B, the staff report for each case as Exhibit C, the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case as Exhibit D, and the Board of Adjustment bylaws as Exhibit E for all cases to be heard at this public hearing. A staff report will be read for each application, followed by a video and any questions for staff. As the chairman had indicated, if you wish to comment upon any of the applications this evening, you're required to sign up in the front of the room here. Anyone wishing to speak either for or against a request must be sworn in and will therefore be providing sworn testimony. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it's your opportunity to provide sworn testimony, your name will be called by the Board of Adjustment Chairman. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the board. All comments and questions are to be addressed to the board and not to anyone in attendance in the audience. All speakers who are not a party to the case shall be limited to 5 minutes unless additional time is granted by the chairman. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you very much. We need to get the sign-up sheet. First item tonight on our agenda is Maple Hill Ceramics. We do have a representative here for Maple Hill, correct? Okay.
This is case number 2015-10V. The request is a setback variance request. The applicant is Thelzia Serber, and the representative is Freeman Payne. The property in question is located at 9009 U.S. Highway 160, Walnut Shade, Missouri. And it's a little hard to see on this one, but right here. Then we'll zoom in on the property here.
Uh, I know that neck of the woods.
Exactly. this is in the Jasper Township, Section 34, Township 24, Range 21. And we've got a view of the property from the north, south, east, and west. The request, the applicant's requesting variances from Section 7, Table 1 of the Development Guidance Code. The applicant's requesting a variance from the 50-foot front setback requirement and also the 7-foot side of lot setback requirement, both, in order to construct a new 35-by-70 building. And this building will be utilized in conjunction with the existing Maple Hill Ceramics build business. The basically, the applicant's requesting the ability to set the building back 25 feet in the front, and they're requesting for the new building to touch the property line, essentially, or be built right up to the property line, just at the one corner, essentially. The representative has indicated that the new building will be utilized for both storage and also classroom space for the existing ceramics building. This new space will also include additional restrooms as well. The the subject property is approximately 1.35 acres in size per the assessor's information, and is described as all of lots 2 and 3 of plats 9, 11, and 12, Bull Creek Valley Camp Subdivision. The replat of the Bull Creek Valley Subdivision was filed with the Recorder of Deeds Office in on May 17th of 1960, and this is basically a copy of that plat. And here's a survey that the applicant recently had conducted, showing the location of the existing building, and from this corner, the existing building sits approximately 25 feet from U.S. Highway 160. The property in question, again, does contain the Maple Hill Ceramics building, which was constructed in 1957 per Beacon, and also the applicant's mobile home, which was placed on site in 2005. Again, the applicant's requesting both a 25-foot setback variance in the front and also a 7-foot setback variance on the side, which would allow for the construction of an approximately 35-by-70 or 2450 square foot building. As you know, Section 7.1 of the Development Guidance Code requires measurements to the structure shall be made to the part of the structure that is closest to the property line. So as an example, if the structure has a roof with an overhang, the measurement is made to the overhang and not to the foundation of the wall or structure. The applicant and the representative have indicated that the setback variance is being requested, both due to the location of the existing septic system and propane tank, and they've drawn in the approximate location. The propane tank sits approximately here, and the septic system sits basically right behind that in this area here. And also in due in large part to the topographic concerns of the property in question, the property in question does drop off pretty sharply. Once you get beyond about here, it drops off pretty sharply to the rear of the lot. Again, the applicant has recently had the property and also the location of the existing building surveyed. And like I said, at its closest point, the existing building sits approximately 25 feet from the front property line. Basically, as indicated by the representative, should the setback variance be granted, the new building would fall in line with both the existing building. And so basically, it would sit at pretty much the exact same point as the existing building, but it would also sit in a similar location to other buildings in the area along 160. the staff recommendations on this, if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this road variance request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the board. First, approval of a setback variance of 25 feet from the front property line adjoining U.S. Highway 160, allowing for the construction of a new Maple Hill Ceramics building, which will be located 25 feet from the front property line. Second, approval of a setback variance of 7 feet from the southwest side property line, allowing for the construction, again, of the new Maple Hill Ceramics building, which will adjoin the western property line at one location. Third, compliance with all other provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. And fourth, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And we've got a couple of brief videos. Actually, what I'll probably do is just show the newest video.
Okay.
If that's all right. And of course, this is the existing.
I know you're an aspiring director.
Ceramics building. And I tried to keep it relatively brief.
Bob's first one was longer than a Clint Eastwood movie ever.
And we've done a little bit too quick. Yeah. We've done a really quick 360. And quickly ran across the road here. And a little hard to see, but this is one of the property stakes in the front. The representative is also, and I think I zoom in on this here in a second, he's also marked the approximate location of the 50, where the 50-foot setback would fall, which makes it nice. And here's another pin here. Somewhere here. And it does, property falls off pretty sharply once you get about there. And this is actually the approximate location of the 50-foot point from the setback point. And as you can see, it would essentially sit back behind the existing building.
Okay. We have one person signed up to speak tonight, and I think that's Freeman Payne. If you'd like to come on up, I'll swear you in real quick, if you don't mind giving us your name and where you're from.
Freeman Payne, Maple Hill Ceramics, live in Forsyth.
Okay. Raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Tell us about your project.
The project is a new classroom and workspace and sits right at the end of the building here, as shown in all the information shown tonight. And what the building's going to do is it's going to allow us to take Maple Hill Ceramics from what's been basically a hobby shop to a full-fledged art destination where we'll be offering drawing classes along with the ceramics classes and then start adding other classes as well, targeting the seniors that retire into the area as well as the homeschool and any other children that are interested in this type of destination. We have been recently given the contents of another ceramic shop and have no place to go with it, so we've just been putting that into storage for now until we construct a new building.
Okay.
And then as far as the little peg that you just showed with the 50-foot, he had guessed that that was where the 50-foot setback was at, and that's not. That's 50
okay.
feet from the front of the building. So that 50-foot would actually be about at the back of the building, not way back.
Okay.
Peg.
Okay.
That's the only misconception.
Thank you for clarifying that.
You're welcome.
How big is the new construction, the new proposed construction? Like, did I miss that somewhere along the way?
Well,
35 feet
long
by 10 foot.
It's 35 by 70.
Yeah.
Okay, so 35 foot wide.
And so that 50-foot mark is from the building to that pit, then it's 50-foot, and then another 70-foot. Just that extra 20-foot to make 70, just to fill in that little area, is going to run about $6,000.
Okay.
If we have to set back another 25-foot, then that's going to make the project undoable because the fill would not allow us, plus the washing out and everything there would be problematic.
What questions do the commissioners have for Mr. Payne?
Well,
you looked at putting it on in between the two buildings?
That's where the well is at.
It is.
Yes, but I had considered that. Then I said, so the problem is moving the septic tank is, expensive. Moving the propane tank, of course, because I thought behind the building would be the next one place, because it's almost flat there. Then you do a little ale thing. But then that didn't work out because of the septic tank being so expensive to move. And then the same thing with moving our trailer, because we can move our trailer back to that end. But then that's, again, more expense. And so we looked at those as well. And then we looked at the property next to it. There's a house there that they usually rent out. So we thought about renting that. But then it's an old building, and the floors are already a bit sagging. So if we stack anything in there very heavy, it would start collapsing. And we use plaster molds that weigh hundreds and hundreds of pounds.
Mark?
Who owns the adjoining property where you're asking for the zero lot line?
Sorry.
The gentleman who owns Able Body. Who owns Able Body? Mr. Raven?
I don't know the name.
He's the guy that, the person that purchased that property where the old In-N-Out gas station is the gentleman who owns the Able car place there.
Paul Simon.
Is it Paul Simon?
Down the hill?
I guess it doesn't really matter who.
Right.
I don't really have any issues at all with the 25-foot front setback, seeing that's where pretty much everything is. But I would want to know if there was any feedback from that neighbor that you're going right up to the property line, had any concern with it. Did you discuss this project with him?
No, we have not.
Okay. I would agree. I'm a little concerned about a zero lot line. That's why I was asking about the width of the building. And it's 35 feet wide. And so one of the questions I would have would be, why not make it a little less wide?
We can do that. That's not a problem. If we could do even 30 foot, 33 foot, then there would be, because right now a 30 foot building, we still need the variance for a 30 foot building.
Right.
Because that means we'd still be taking 2 foot of the 7 foot setback.
Sure.
For a 30 foot building.
To me, that's a little more palatable than a zero lot line because there's no opportunity for mistakes.
Yeah, it's a little bit unusual because they can even sell that other lot and somebody else might have other plans, and it's not really normal to have something built right up on it. And,
okay. Could we do a 2 foot setback? Because we're looking for
that's much more palatable to me.
Me too. Is there something there? I'd just like to see something. That's what I've got an issue with.
So, yes.
What am I understanding on the plus or minus 7 feet? Is that a...
It's normally 7 foot, but they're trying to get rid of that.
They want it, because I'm not reading.
Just a little bit of an angle.
I hear zero. I'm just looking for zero setback, is what he's asking.
I think the way Bob wrote it was a 7 foot variance. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
7 foot
side. On the side, there's the 7 foot variance. And the way the property line is set, so the property line goes like this, and the building actually is going to go about like that.
So it's going to angle off almost immediately.
Exactly.
Yes.
And so it's that front corner right there that is needing the variance. And that front corner basically is going to run probably touching the property line from each of that shale probably before it starts dramatically changing direction. And then towards the back end, by the time you get to that 50-foot mark, it's going to be it's almost going to be the 7 foot back from there just simply because of the angle of the property line.
Okay.
What if your neighbor come in and ask for the same thing? He wanted a zero.
We'd have to do an adjoining building,
Just
like the newer town.
Right.
Can you bring up your staff recommendations again?
Yes.
Please.
Oh, yeah.
Any other questions about project? First thing, approval of a setback variance of 25 feet from the property line. Where did you see that at earlier?
First line, is this a setback variance request or a road variance request?
We always refer to it as a setback anyway.
Yeah, but I'm looking at the first line up there. Approves this road variance request.
Oh, I apologize. That is an error. That is. Yes, that is incorrect.
Got an extra space there, too. Okay. So, on number two, that's the one we're really talking about now. You're revising your request from a 7 foot setback to how much? to a 5-foot setback.
And that would be 2 foot on that front corner from the property line.
Right.
And then, of course, it would continue to increase as it went back.
Okay. So that is the new request. Any questions about that? Okay. Any other comments?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve this variance as it's written.
Okay. Approve the variance as it's written now, which
ready to be
right, which the.
Gotta leave off that last word there, buddy.
Yeah. Okay. Which the change, other than we changed the word road at the beginning to setback, and we also changed number two to approval of setback variance of 5 feet from 7 from the southwest property line, allowing for the construction of a new Maple Hill Ceramics building, which will be located 2 feet from the southwest side property line. Is that correct, Tony?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Okay, I call for a roll call vote. Mr. Lawson?
Yay.
Mr. Mullen?
Yay.
Mr. Weiss?
Yay.
And Mr. Pingleton also votes yay. Passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next up is Asher Holdings, LLC. Do we have a representative for Asher? Okay.
This is case number 2015-11V. The request is a second setback variance request. The applicant is Chad Ellis, or Asher Holdings, LLC. And the property is located at 325 Mesquite Drive in Branson. And it's a little hard to see, but it's right here. We'll zoom in on that.
I was looking down. Is this out? What subdivision is this in?
Yeah, this is Meadow Ridge.
Okay.
Again, this is located at 325 Mesquite Drive. It's in the Branson Township, Section 23, Township 23, Range 22. And kind of a little blurry, but we've got, of course, the views from north, south, east, and west again. And these are the 10-foot contour lines, just to give an idea of the fall. The applicant's requesting a variance from Section 7, Table 1 of the Development Guidance Code. The applicant's requesting a variance from the required 25-foot front property line setback in order to allow for the construction of a new single-family residence. The applicant is requesting an 8-foot front setback variance, allowing the new single-family home to be constructed 17 feet from the front property line. The subject property is approximately 0.28 acres in size and is described as all of Lot 231, Horizon Hills Subdivision, Neighborhood 1, Phase 8B. On the history on this, on September 16th, 2015, Division 1 Permit 2015-119 was issued, authorizing the construction of a 2,000-square-foot single-family residence to be located at this address, 325 Mesquite Drive. On September 25th of this year, the applicant applied for the setback variance. The applicant indicated at that time that he was seeking a setback variance because the basement area had been excavated and the footers had been poured based upon the 25-foot front setback measurement being taken from the edge of the road versus the property or road versus the property line or road right-of-way line. On September 30th, a Board of Adjustment public hearing sign was posted on site, and a video was produced showing the property in question. During the on-site visit, the staff noted that at that time that the basement area had been excavated, and a construction crew was assembling the forms, allowing for the foundation to be poured. On October 2nd, a stop work order and a revocation of Division 1 permit 2015-119 was issued to Mr. Ellis,
upon receipt of a complaint from the city of Branson indicating that the foundation was being poured prior to the approval of a setback variance. The planning staff had indicated to Mr. Ellis at that time that all construction activities are to cease until such time that either the setback requirements are met or the setback variance is approved by the Board of Adjustment. And Mr. Ellis had indicated at that time that he had no intention of continuing any additional construction, and since that time he has not. He has not done any additional construction. In review, the applicant is requesting an 8-foot front property line setback variance, again, in order to allow for the construction of the single-family residence that would sit 17 feet from the front property line. And this was just to kind of reiterate what we had on the last one, that measurements are taken from the overhang versus the foundation walls. In review, the applicant has indicated that he solely misunderstood the setback requirement, which he understood as being 25 feet from the road surface versus being 25 feet from the front property line slash road right-of-way line. The applicant has indicated that the basement area was excavated and the footers poured based upon the 25-foot distance from the road surface. The applicant has stated that based upon the steepness of the slope of the slot, the required 25-foot front setback would either make the lot unbuildable or the drive would be set well below the grade of the adjoining roadway. The property in question does drop off very sharply from the road area to the rear of the lot. These are actually 2-foot contour lines, and you can see it does drop off pretty sharply from the front to the back. The staff recommendations on this: if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves setback variance request case number 2015-11. The following requirements shall apply unless revised by the board. First, approval of a setback variance of 8 feet from the front property line adjoining Mesquite Drive, allowing for the construction of a new single-family residence, which will be located 17 feet from the front property line. Second, compliance with all other provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. And third, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And we've got, this was an early video of the property, and at that time the foundation had not been poured. And I'll just use the second one because, and this is the most recent video of the property. And as you can see, it does drop off pretty steeply once you get beyond the foundation.
Okay. We have a few people signed up to speak, but the first one is Chad Ellis. Chad, if you want to come on up, state your name, where you're from, and
what's what?
Okay. You swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? Okay, tell us about your project.
Yeah, we started this, and we measured a couple of the houses out there, and they range anywhere from the road from, 18 feet to 30-something feet back. So when I called 25 feet setback, well, I'm thinking from the road, we go ahead and start this project, and then when we laid this out, I then called, and it was actually from the property line. Well, we didn't know where the property line was, so at that time, we had dug the foundation, had the footing form there, and then I had Eddie come out and survey it and found out that we were 8 foot encroaching the property line. So I made the judgment call to go ahead and pour those footers. One of the reasons is the concrete guys, they, you know, they get paid in draws or whatever, and I just wanted to make sure they went ahead and got paid. And, you know, if you know, if the variance wasn't granted, we would, you know, there's really not much more we could do, because as you can tell, that lot, I mean, it really falls off in the back there. So, but and the city of Branson's a whole different deal. I mean, it's clearly in the county. It's a whole other subject.
I was going to ask that question in a minute.
So, and they wouldn't even have known about it if I hadn't mentioned it to them. And we had inspections set up, but it, I mean, don't have nothing to do with this, but they had a sewer line bus, and they wouldn't give me my inspection, and it was a big, big ordeal, and it was supposed to be the next day, and then that's when I told them about the variance, and then they called Bob, and but that's neither here nor there. But,
okay.
So, but I'm here to answer your question if you got any questions. So.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, we've got two other folks signed up to speak. Roger Burkford, do I have that right?
Yeah.
Come on up, Roger. If you would state your name and where you're from, and then I'll, Karen, or you must be Karen, I'll get you next.
Okay.
Okay.
Roger Burkford, Brandon.
Okay. Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Hang on just a second. Do you need... Oh, yeah, you're right.
I don't need a mic.
Yeah, but out there in internet land, they might want to hear what you have to say. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. They weren't as interesting as you, I guess, Roger. So.
It occurs to me, and I know that variances could be determined prior to excavation, and according to what we've heard from the association, Mr. Ellis was supposed to submit plans for the house prior to excavating the property. And if there was some question about a variance, that should have been determined prior to the excavation. So I really think that the excavation was done and the footings were poured. It wasn't really something that he should have done. He should have known the steepness of the lot and what he needed to set back. And 8-foot variance is quite a bit. And we live right next door to the house that's being built. So, yeah, 335, which is just to the left of the lot there.
Okay.
And so that'll stick out quite a ways. It'll be limited parking space for cars in that driveway because it's such a short driveway. So I think all of these things should have been taken care of before any excavation was done on the property. And that's all I have to say. Thank you very
okay,
much.
Okay, thank you. Karen Burkford. And state your name and where you're from.
Karen Burkford from, I'm all right, I'm so nervous.
That's okay, we won't bite. And if you raise your right hand,
35 Mesquite Drive.
Very good.
In the county.
Very good. Raise your right hand for me. Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay.
All right. You may have enjoyed his more than you will mine. And I hate to start out in a negative way, but in looking at the different facts related to this, and we heard about this at a neighborhood block party that the plans were supposed to have been submitted to the Property Owners Association previous to excavation, but at the block party on October 17th, they had not been submitted, and the footings were poured, right? And in reviewing the timetable of this, it didn't escape me that initially it was asserted that the footings had been poured. But it wasn't so, because on the 30th of September, they were not poured. There were forms in place. You know, he said, I poured them and I based it on the wrong fact, you know, from the street. rather than from the front property line backward. And so he said, but the footings had been poured with that misconception. But on the 30th, let's see, the 16th was the permit, the 25th was when he had that conversation about their poured, and then on the, it was the 25th and the 30th, when they did the videotaping of the property, it was clear that there were forms in place ready for cement to be poured, but it had not been poured. And the only thing that I can think of that one would assert that footings had been poured, which he had to know were not poured, would be to represent it in a way that would compel someone to feel obliged to accommodate his building interest, which might, in the long run, compromise ours. And it's real difficult for me to feel that I could trust someone who misrepresented something clearly that he would know about when the footings were poured. And, you know, he may be a wonderful guy, but I'm just having a hard time with this timetable and the fact that it would be 8 feet out farther. It's not 8 feet at this height. 8 feet all the way up for the height of the house, which is a much more visual restriction, you know, than just a little wall or something that goes out a little farther, a patio or whatever. So that is a concern of ours. So I'm struggling to summon up the compassion for an intentionally created hardship, created, we believe, in order to persuade others to accommodate one's individual desired building project at the potential expense of our property value. For Mr. Ellis to suggest that he didn't realize that a setback is not measured from the street, but rather from a front property line, would be equivalent to our denial as musicians with degrees in music to deny the that we knew the location of middle C on a piano keyboard. And when he was, you know, advised by the POA, the Property Owners Association, to submit his building plans before digging, but he elected to circumvent those directives and to dig and even pour the footings prior to having submitted those house plans to the association, is clearly an intentional act of willful disregard for the association's governing board and for its covenants. And for the POA to have ignored the excavation underway for weeks with a komatsu on the property without intervening shows intentional avoidance of this breach of their own requirements. So that's, you know, that's just very straightforward. And but it's just being real honest about the way we feel about it. And, you know, I don't know where you go from here, but we're not comfortable with that. And I just don't know what the house would look like. When we bought our house in Colorado, we had a drawing, a representation similar to this. And we had expected that, you know, if those plans hadn't been submitted, we didn't know what we'd end up next door to, quite honestly. And so that was a concern. And when I've seen the other things that don't quite track with the rhetoric, I'm kind of hesitant to trust that it wouldn't be a two-story double wide or a pink house, or it might be wonderful. We might just love it, you know, and that'd be great. But I'm just saying that there has been instilled in me, or I have, you know, at least felt a certain hesitation to, you know, to feel comfortable not representing how we feel about it. based on these things.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You might stay close in case any of the commissioners have questions for you. I'll go ahead and have Mr. Ellis come back up now, Ms. Burford, and then because I think we're going to have some questions for him for sure, and then we may have some clarification for you all as well. Commissioners? I've got a question for you, Bob, while they're thinking about what they want to ask. Going back to the requirement with the foundation versus the overhang, the request, does it take into account, is it measuring from the overhang or the foundation?
And I guess it's actually about 29 feet, 6 inches from the road. Okay.
No, so, but I'm talking about from the actual setback.
Yeah, it would include the overhang.
Okay. So if we were to measure that today, it's 10 feet-ish, right? Because, yes. I mean, the overhang is going to overhang a certain amount.
18 inches, yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I just want to make sure that was, no matter what we decide tonight, I don't want to then make it wrong again.
Right. Well, if you notice the house down four to the right there, Sean, that house sets about 10 feet below the actual street. And so the driveway is like this. I mean, I'm surprised they can even get in there. So what we did is, you know, and here's just a couple of pictures of the some of the houses that's in the subdivision. I mean, that car is probably 10 foot long. So, I mean, it's probably 20 feet from the street.
Right.
But so what we did is we actually made the basement walls higher. So for resale purposes, the house would actually have a straight driveway. The actual board, I bought that lot from the POA of the subdivision. I asked them what the requirements was. I emailed them, I think, a couple, 3 weeks ago, the actual plans. Asked them what was required. I mean, obviously, there's been zero construction out here for 5 years. So they were kind of all out of the loop. They were all new board members. And I found out about the utilities after I bought the lot and then having to go to the city to get a city permit after the fact. So, you know, I mean, we, like I said, I made the call to go ahead and pour the footing because we were going to leave, you know, if it wasn't going to get, it wouldn't make sense for us to move it back cost wise. And, you know, I mean, I just sold the house in there that was 3,400 square feet for, $180,000. And we sold the house just like this for about $125 a square foot. So we hopefully will benefit the neighborhood.
Yeah, and just a comment on, because I thought I read something a little bit differently than, because it kind of stuck out to me too. Could you go back to the time, the date timeline?
Yeah.
October 2nd.
Sorry.
It's okay. right there. I did notice it on October 2nd. This is just a comment on some things that we heard from the other speakers. The last sentence of that, Mr. Ellis has indicated to the staff that he had no intention of continuing construction beyond the pouring of the foundation.
Correct.
So you indicated to the staff then that you were going to go ahead and, for lack of a better way to put it, risk the chance of pouring that. Because what you have done bears no decision on what we have to decide.
Yes.
And so, you know, if we decide that, it won't be because you poured the foundation, and it won't be because you haven't.
Sure. Yes, sir.
So we just have to make the best decision we can on whether this is a reasonable variance.
Sure.
So I just want to make that clear because that was one of the comments that you made earlier. So it looks like at least you indicated to our staff that you were going to go ahead and do that understanding.
Yes.
That's a risk you were taking.
Yeah. And really, I mean, Missouri is a non-survey state, so nobody would even, if I wouldn't have spent the $400 and never said anything, it would probably have been okay. But I went ahead and did what I thought was the right thing to do and got the variance. But like I said, I mean, these guys get paid in stages, so I didn't want them not to get I wanted them to, you know.
But as you understand, that's a risk you're taking.
Sure, yes, that was a risk that I took, yes, sir.
So that really does not bear on our decision at all, nor
should. Yes, sir, 100%.
Yeah.
And we, you know.
Okay.
Anything else?
I don't know. We'll see. I just thought I would ask those while y'all were thinking. Any questions?
One, and I'm looking for, you know, for a hardship. You know now the mistake that you made.
Sure.
And you know, most architects, contractors, you know, builders, you know, would know that. And I think the other people are correct in you know, that initial statement. But that doesn't negate the fact when you look at that lot, it has some steepness.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, financial, I don't know if that's good enough reason to grant a variance. But the steepness, is that what you're hanging your hat on as the reason for this variance?
Yes, sir. If the, like I said, the house four down to the right, is, I bet it would have the same close, like the same elevation. Their driveway is, I would say, at least 8 to 10 feet below when you go in there. So one of the my thought was, is to scoot the house up a little bit. And number one, because the back, I mean, it's you know, I think I actually, it'll be 11-foot walls to have 11-foot basement just to make it where it would be level with the road, so the driveway would be level versus the other two houses over there to the right. So so that's one of the reasons why that, I mean, we scooted it up a little bit. But if you... You know, I mean, you kind of seen where the forms were. I mean, we couldn't go another 2 or 3 feet. I mean, back, or it really fall. I mean, it really falls off back there. So
I was looking to see if you could. But
yeah.
I saw the seat.
So, but
that's why we didn't build on that lot. It was supposed to have been our lot.
Any other questions for Mr. Ellis? Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Bergford?
Just a comment that, you know, I had some of the same thoughts that you did on the timing, and boy, you know, should have known, but that's not, you know, what we make our decisions on. But I appreciate you coming and sharing that, your thoughts with us.
Yeah, thank you. And a comment also as far as POAs go, that's not something that we take into consideration. However, that is something that you're welcome to pursue on your end with the POA. But that's really not anything that we consider when we're looking at that. Okay? If there are no other questions, I would entertain a motion.
I'm going to make a motion to approve case number 2015-0011B.
As recommended? As staff recommended?
As staff recommends.
Very good. I have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. A roll call vote. Mr. Lawson?
Yes.
Mr. Mullen?
Yes.
Mr. Wise?
Yes.
Mr. Pingleton votes yes as well. It does pass. One other comment. Make sure you measure properly next time.
Again.
Yeah. We certainly don't want to see that again. So, all right. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate your comments. Next, actually, we do have Mr. Kramer's here.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to sign you up since you got, we know you were coming and you called and I did not sign you up earlier, but we know that you're going to speak. So, no, not yet. We're good in a second. So the next one up is Gary Lloyd.
Okay.
Agenda.
This is case number 2014-7V. The project is Gary and Tressie Lloyd, floodplain management ordinance variance request. The applicants are Gary and Tressie Lloyd, and the representative is George Kramer. And we'll zoom in on the property. It's on Foggy River Road.
Guys may remember this one. This is one we heard and tabled. Correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. The subject property is located at 415
Foggy River Road, Hollister, Missouri. It's in the Oliver Township, Section 13, Township 22, Range 22. And here's the property in question. The applicants are requesting a variance from the provisions of Article 4, Section B of the Taney County Floodplain Management Ordinance. Essentially, the applicants are requesting a variance from the floodplain requirements for non-residential construction. The Floodplain Management Ordinance requires the proposed non-residential structure to either be elevated to 1 foot above the base flood elevation, or together with the attendant utility and sanitary facilities, be flood-proofed so that below the base flood elevation, the structure is watertight with walls substantially impermeable to the passage of water and with structural components having the capability of resisting hydrostatic and hydrodynamic loads and the effects of buoyancy.
Some big words.
I was going to say, that's hard for me to, that's easy for me to say. The subject property is described as Lot 12, Block B of the Riverside Estate Subdivision, and it contains approximately 0.47 acres. The property in question is currently vacant. The background on this, as you said, in September of last year, George Kramer submitted a Division 1 permit application, originally seeking to construct a 36 by 60, or 2,160 square foot structure, to be utilized for the storage of the applicant's motorhome and fishing boats. The approval of this Division 1 permit was to be contingent upon the approval of a floodplain development permit. At this time, the applicants have not yet met the minimum requirements of the floodplain ordinance, and part of that, of course, is that he's seeking the floodplain variance, and so a floodplain development permit has not been issued at this time. Since that original time, it's my understanding that the building is now going to be reduced in size to a 30 by 40 structure, or 1,200 square foot structure. The applicants also own the residence located across the street, so the applicants own this residence located at 406 Foggy River Road, and also the adjoining property immediately to the east of the property in question. So they're looking at constructing the building here, but they do also own this lot.
They're both in the floodplain, right? Both
yes.
of those vacant lots?
Yes, okay. And so really this entire area is all located in the floodplain. On September 18th of last year, the representative provided the planning department office with a copy of an engineering letter from Ralph Tate with Tate Engineering Consultants, and also an accompanying schematic floor plan, which we show here. In the letter, Mr. Tate states that we propose to install 4 louvered and screened vents in the side walls of the building. Mr. Tate then goes on to specify the size of the vents and to further describe what are referred to by FEMA as wet floodproofing methods that we propose to utilize. FEMA looks upon wet floodproofing methods. They're basically techniques which would allow the floodwaters to enter the structure and then also to exit the structure. In this particular instance, since it's a non-residential structure, the regs actually call for dry floodproofing methods, which basically would be to completely prevent floodwaters from entering the building. And so, essentially, in this variance request, the applicant's requesting to utilize dry floodproofing methods versus these required wet floodproofing methods. On November 19th of last year, as you indicated, the Board of Adjustment did hold a public hearing. At that time, the board voted to table the request until such time that the Planning Department staff was able to obtain a written opinion from FEMA regarding FEMA's course of action should the variance be granted. On December 16th of last year, the staff did receive a written opinion from Todd Tucker, the Natural Hazards Program Specialist with FEMA via email. And basically in the email, it's about a two-page email, but in the email he concludes by saying, in this case, the conditions for approving a variance as described in Article 5, Section E 1 through 6 of the Local Flood Hazard Reduction Ordinance do not appear to have been met. The representative has now requested that the variance application in question be, of course, placed back on the Board of Adjustment agenda. Again, this property is described as Lot 12, Block B of Riverside Status, Riverside Estate Subdivision. They're seeking a variance for the provisions of Article 4, Section B of the Floodplain Management Ordinance, allowing for the use of wet floodproofing methods versus the required dry floodproofing methods. And of course, we've got the same, a view from the north, south, east, and west. In review on this, as stated above, the applicants are requesting a variance from the provisions of the Floodplain Management Ordinance. The applicants are basically requesting a variance from this specific provision where it requires new construction or substantial improvement of any commercial, industrial, or other non-residential structures, including manufactured homes, shall have the lowest floor, including the basement, elevated to 1 foot above the base flood elevation, or together with attendant utility and sanitary facilities, be floodproof so that below the base flood elevation, the structure is watertight with walls substantially impermeable to the passage of water, with structural components having the capability of resisting hydrostatic and hydrodynamic loads and effects of buoyancy. A registered professional engineer or architect shall certify that the standards of this subsection are satisfied. Such certification shall be provided to the floodplain administrator as set forth in Article 3, Section C-9. Again, both FEMA and SEMA, the Missouri State Emergency Management Agency, refer to these methods as being dry floodproofing methods, where essentially a structure is designed where it just absolutely does not allow the floodwaters to enter. It's normally a masonry structure or some structure that's going to be able to withstand the forces that the floodwaters are going to exert. Per the provisions of the Floodplain Management Ordinance, the wet floodproofing methods, such as the ones that are being proposed, basically utilize things such as vents and allow the floodwaters to flow in and then flow back out of the structure. But in this particular instance, since it's a non-residential structure, it actually requires the structure to be dry flood-proofed. According to the county's LIDAR contour data, the site in question sits at approximately between 710 and 712, and the approximate base flood elevation for the site is 729. And so essentially the base flood elevation would be about 19 feet in the air. And so if this were either elevated or flood-proofed, it would have to be elevated essentially to 20 feet from the existing ground surface. So if the structure is dry flood-proofed, essentially the entire structure would be required to be watertight. It just wouldn't, allow for anything. This is actually, it's a little hard to see, but there's a row of trees here. This is actually a photo during the flooding of 2011, just to show the point that the water reached at that time. The Floodplain Management Ordinance, it does allow for structures used solely for parking and limited storage purposes, not attached to any other structure on the site, of limited investment value, and not larger than 400 square feet, may be constructed at grade and wet flood-proofed. So really the FEMA requirements would allow exactly what they proposed if the structure was 400 square feet or smaller. So it would allow a smaller structure to be built with these requirements, but it really doesn't allow for a larger structure. And that's pretty much what, as indicated within a guidance document provided by SEMA to the county, it basically states, although a county or municipal appeals board has the authority to decide whether or not a variance is granted, basically FEMA may review the community's findings. If FEMA's review indicates a pattern inconsistent with the objectives of sound floodplain management, the community can be subjected to probation or suspension from the National Flood Insurance Program. And as previously indicated in his email, in Todd Tucker's email, he essentially states, in this case, the conditions for approving a variance, as described in Article 5, Section E, 1 through 6, of the Local Flood Hazard Reduction Ordinance do not appear to have been met. And so in his opinion, he's essentially not viewing this as a hardship. If Taney County's floodplain management program were to be placed on probation, basically the residents of the unincorporated area of Taney County would be required to pay higher premiums for their FEMA-backed flood insurance policies. And there's further dangers because if the program were to be placed on suspension, the residents of the unincorporated area of Taney County basically would not be eligible for FEMA-backed flood insurance. They have some variance criteria, and I don't know necessarily that I need to read every one of these, you have to absolutely establish that it's a hardship, and not only does really the county board of adjustment have to establish that it's a hardship, if FEMA disagrees that it's a hardship, they can actually suspend our program, basically. There are some conditions that they require to be placed on a floodplain variance. What I tried to do is I tried to build those conditions into the staff recommendations here. The first one is, this is approval of a variance from the provisions of Article 4, Section B of the Taney County Floodplain Management Ordinance, allowing for the construction of a 30 by 40, or 1,200 square foot, non-residential structure, which is allowed to be built utilizing the wet floodproofing methods enumerated specifically within the Tate Engineering Consultant's letter and accompanying schematic floor plan that were submitted to the Planning Department office on September 11th of 2014. Second, the applicant acknowledges that the issuance of this variance to construct a structure below base flood level will result in increased premium rates for flood insurance up to amounts as high as $25 for $100 of insurance coverage. The applicant further recognizes that such construction below the base flood level increases risks to life and property. Third, compliance with all other provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and the Taney County Floodplain Management Ordinance. And fourth, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. I did want to add one thing. Today I did actually contact Todd Tucker just because I haven't really spoken with him since he drafted this first email response. And if anything, he's indicating to me since some of the recent disasters we've had
across the country that FEMA is actually taking a harder line approach on many of these things. And he would not conclusively say one way or the other if this was granted what actions FEMA would take, but he did indicate that if FEMA did not feel, if a variance were granted and it was not a hardship, if they did not agree that it was a hardship situation, that there was a likelihood that they might put the county on, that they may put the county on probation. And so he essentially indicated that the county can grant a variance, but we better be extremely sure that it's a hardship situation.
Okay.
Got just a couple of videos, and I apologize. I forget which ones. I think that's the
which one doesn't show Bonita fishing.
That's the old one, and here's the current one. And of course, this is the approximate site. And then they own the house across the street there.
Okay. We do have one person signed up to speak tonight, George Kramer. Come on up and give us your name, where you're from, and I'll swear you in.
George Kramer, Cassie Mills.
Okay, raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Remind us about your project, George.
Well, he's just wanting to build a place to park his boat and stuff. The reason we reduced the size of it, he sold his motorhome, so he doesn't need a place to park it. He owns the property, and his driveway is not sufficient in size to park his boat and whatnot. So he could park them across the street and tarp them, but thought it might be less unsightly and better security if he had a building. FEMA allows you to build them up to 400 feet. We want to build one a little bigger, so that's why we're here for a variance. I know we could build a smaller one. We could build it out of wood, and it could float downstream and knock somebody's house down. This thing's going to be non-organic. We want to wet flood-proof it. We want to meet all the criteria. I appreciate everything Bob said about it. I got a letter here from Todd Tucker, August 26, 2015. In paragraph 4, it says, if it is the principal use of the property, such as commercial storage building, commercial warehouse, the same development standards would apply, i.e., reasonably safe from flooding, flood-resistant materials, etc. The things will be non-organic. It's not going to mold, rot, mildew. There won't be any cleanup except the power washing if it gets done. I can sit here and hammer and hound, but guy wants to build a shed on some property he owns. If he can't build a shed on, he'll park his stuff outside. I mean, it's just that simple. Or sell the house and go find a place he can build a shed. I have not come to be argumentative or anything else.
Me either.
He'd like to build a shed, and so
okay.
That's pretty much where we're at.
Questions from the commissioners?
George, you understand the situation. We could make a vote here that could create the whole county to be put on probation with FEMA over a shed.
Well, I appreciate that. I wasn't really familiar with a lot of what was said tonight. I was told that was our situation why we tabled it last time.
Yeah.
And so I called Mr. Tucker, and I said, you know, what's the deal? And I know I'm under oath. And he told me, he said, FEMA's not going to cancel their floodplain insurance because they let you build a building. I said, will you send me a letter that says that? He said, no, I won't do that. But he said, let me look at it a little bit, and I'll send you, you know, what we can do. And he sent me this email. I don't know, do they have a copy of it?
Yes.
He sent me that email that said, you know, if it's just a storage building, he said, you can build a commercial storage building as long as it's wet flood proof. So he said, I'll send you something. So it says, in essence, you can build a commercial building and wet flood, whatever, it, you know, reasonably safe from flooding. And that's what we're doing. So I appreciate your position.
Other questions?
Every house out there that we saw in the picture is in the floodplain.
Sure.
Hardship. You know, maybe taking your boat up the hill to a storage facility on high ground would not be considered a hardship. I don't know. Have any park your stuff on the lot across the street, you know, in sight without being secured. And maybe, you know, parked here and there and tarp. Maybe that would create a hardship on the neighborhood because they have to look at it. I don't have a good answer for you, boys.
Okay.
And girls.
Any other questions for Mr. Kramer? Okay. I think we'll discuss it for a minute.
Okay.
I tend to agree with you, Mr. Lawson. It's a high risk for not really much of a hardship, and I love my boat a lot as well, but he might have a dock he can park it on behind his house as well. I don't get the rules exactly. I don't understand why they have what they have for wet and what they have for dry, but they are the rules that are in place, and to me it is not worth the risk of losing the county flood insurance over something that I'm not sure we would approve anyway, because I don't see a hardship there. So, you know, which is really what we have to look at on something like this. So that's really where my opinion is.
See it more as an inconvenience than a hardship.
And I agree.
No disrespect, though, but that's just...
Yeah.
I see that it's inconvenient. If I had that lot, I would want to build something on it as well.
It'd work here.
Yeah. So...
I feel the same way. That's the risk to the county and the residents that have flood insurance is too great for me to be, you know, comfortable
right.
in
right.
stretching it. If you know they did decide to take a hard-nosed, you know, approach,
yeah. To the... Any other discussion or thoughts? I would entertain a motion. We have a motion to deny the variance request. Do we have a second?
Yes. Second.
Okay. I have a second. Any other discussion? Roll call vote. Got discussion. Go ahead.
The discussion, I think I would say on the record that it's because of the attitude of FEMA towards this project.
Yeah.
That's why it would be denied. That's why I would vote for it to be denied.
Yeah.
If I were... when it comes to vote.
Yeah.
Any other discussion?
Good comment.
Yeah.
I agree. If my land and had it, I'd want to do something
yeah.
useful on it. That's the issue with floodplains today.
Yeah. Okay. Any other comments? Roll call vote, Mr. Lawson.
I vote yes to deny.
Vote yes to deny. Mr. Mullen?
Yes to deny.
Yes to deny. Mr. Weiss?
Yes to deny.
And Mr. Pingleton also votes yes to deny. So that variance request is denied. Thank you. Next item on our agenda is Daryl Soupcup. Do I have that right?
Close enough.
Okay. And so the representative obviously is here. So we'll go ahead. We'll go ahead and how do you pronounce it?
Soak up like soak up the water.
Okay, good enough. Very good. I'll try to get that right next time.
This is case number 2015-12V. This is also a setback variance request. The applicant is Daryl Soukup.
Soukup.
Soukup. Sorry. I got it wrong and here. The property in question is located at 612 Iowa Colony Road. And we'll zoom in on the property here. This is in the Jasper Township, Section 34, Township 24, Range 21. And again, it's at 612 Iowa Colony Road. And, of course, we've got the traditional north, south, east, and west views here. the applicant is requesting a variance, again, from Section 7, Table 1 of the Development Guidance Code. The applicant is requesting a variance from the required 25-foot front property line setback requirement. The applicant is requesting a 10-foot front setback variance, allowing the new structure to be constructed 15 feet from the front property line. And he's illustrated this here. Basically, he's requesting for it to be 15 feet, 15 feet versus the 25 feet.
So a 10-foot variance.
So a 10-foot variance.
Okay. Math is hard.
the subject property is approximately 0.48 acres in size and is described as all of Lot 1A in the amended plat of Lots 1 and 2 of Escher Subdivision. The amended plat, this amended plat was filed with the Recorder of Deeds Office in August of 2005. The property in question is currently vacant. According to the assessor's information utilized, the property once contained a single-family residence, which had been constructed in 1942. Again, the applicant's requesting a 10-foot setback variance, allowing for the construction of a 40-by-72 single-family residence, which will set back 15 feet from the front property line adjoining Iowa Colony Road. And again, of course, the measurements are always taken from the overhang or whatever part of the structure is closest to the property line. In review, the applicant has indicated that the setback variance is being requested due to the unusual shape and topography of the buildable part of the lot. The property in question does drop off extremely sharply from the front of the property to the rear of the property. The applicant has indicated that the setback variance will allow for the construction of the new residence outside of an area in which the rock appears to be very unstable. Should the setback variance be granted, the new single-family residence would also fall in line with adjoining residences currently located along Iowa Colony Road. The staff recommendations on this, if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves setback variance case number 2015-12, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the board. First, approval of a setback variance of 10 feet from the front property line adjoining Iowa Colony Road, allowing for the construction of a new single-family residence, which will be located 15 feet from the front property line. Second, compliance with all other provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. And third, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And, of course, we've got our brief video here. And this is a shot
Benita fishing again?
She's down there fishing.
Yeah.
And just did a quick 360. Or fairly quick. And then also just wanted to show that this does drop off pretty severely once you get beyond this point. That's where Benita pushed me.
Should have been nicer to her.
Bob likes the view.
Yeah. Okay, we have two folks signed up to speak tonight. I'm actually going to start with the applicant, and then we'll come back to Mr. Bishop. Okay? So, Mr. Soakup, if you'd like to come up, and I almost got it wrong. And state your name, where you're from, and we'll swear you in.
My name is Daryl Soakup. I'm from Houseville, Missouri.
Okay, raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, tell us about your project.
Well, the lot is 86 feet across the front. It's 100 feet across the back, which is an unusual lot. But down one side, there's only approximately 32 feet that I can build. From where he was taking that picture and looking back towards that little cabin right there, that juts back in quite a ways. And from what I understand, and I found out later on, that there was possibly a ravine in there. So that has to be excavated. Okay, and the idea of bringing the house out an extra 10 feet, if I have to move it 2 feet, I'm covered. If I have to move it 8 feet, I'm covered. That's the reason why I'm doing it. It all has to do with the slope in the back. If it's unstable, it becomes unsafe. And I'm not going to take any chances. No, I don't have any plans for the house, but I do have a picture of a house that I was going to build, and it really depends on where I can move it. The other thing, too, is can I amend the adjustment?
We'll talk about that at the end.
Oh, okay, later.
Well, you can go ahead and tell me what you're thinking.
Okay, what I'm talking about, I just found out it's on the edge of the roof. Well, I was thinking foundation.
Okay.
So on the side variances, I'd like to go 5 foot instead of 7 foot because the 2 foot overhang, 18
inches. So a 2 foot variance.
Right. I wasn't aware of that.
No variance is what, okay. Well, we.
You all have to be on both sides.
Well, yeah. It's going to be on both sides. It's going to be on both sides. But if I have to narrow the house down, I mean, I've kind of got it sitting there and I just didn't realize that I had to. You know, the overhang, include that. If I do that, that's taking 4 feet off that house. I'm kind of going like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, that lot is not big enough.
When we get to our discussion part, we'll
okay,
actually get
that's
to
fine.
But that's
fine.
Okay.
But it mostly has to do with the slope there in the back. When I was taking out the stumps, I was down 6-7 feet, and I never even hit rock. So I must have been in some kind of ravine in there. So now the contractor is going to have to, we're going to have to figure this out. You know, what can we build on there? You know, what type of beam is going to be, you know, grade beam is going to be required to support that house on that side right there.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
Okay.
Anything else you'd like to add?
No, not at all.
Okay. Stay close. We probably have some questions for you.
Okay.
Thanks. Next person signed up to speak is Donald Bishop. Donald, if you'd like to come on up and state your name and where you're from, and we'll swear you in.
Donald Bishop, Green Spring.
Okay, raise your right hand. You swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, sir.
I came to listen
Thank you.
To see what this
yeah.
was about. My family's owned the property to the south since before the Table Rock Dam was built.
With the little house on it there?
The okay. little cabin. And then I went through my dad and his brother, and now I'm down to myself and my sister, and that's why I hadn't been able to get back with him prior to this. The lot hasn't changed in 60 years that I know of, as far as the severe slope in the back. Now, whether it's the gravel or the rock or until you hit the bedrock, I don't know. I guess my other question is, before one was final to determine what size house you can put on there versus, seems like we're going at this elephant backwards. No? If the worst case in scenario, if it's not granted, then we got to build a house X by Y. in order for it to fit on what a contractor is telling you you got to do. Otherwise, it'll increase cost. Right?
Right. But we're just looking at variances in this case as far as that'll
in
be
in order to build
the
house
applicant.
Bigger.
Yeah. To decide right. what they want to do with what we decide.
Right. So that's why I'm here as well, to see why the house needs to be that size. The houses along Iowa Colony Road, due to the nature of the bluffs there, has changed over the last 50 years from a single dwelling cabin to the more expensive houses on each end that have bought off chunks of land, etc. So I'm kind of, all I saw was a rectangle for his dwelling application, correct?
Sure.
So I don't really know what that rectangle represents. And when does that come into the process?
We'll answer those questions for you in a minute. I just want to hear what all you've got to say, and then we'll discuss.
Right, and the polygon, did you say 1942 when you were going through the history?
That's what the assessor's office was information was indicating. But that, I don't know if that's correct.
That there was a dwelling on it at that time, or that's when a permit was pulled to put a dwelling on?
That's what it's indicating, is that there was a residence constructed there in 1942. I don't know if that's correct or not, but...
Okay. And again, I'm curious. I got the notice in the mail, and it used to have the trees indicated there. It's now clear cut, so I'm not real sure what he's doing. So that's the other reason I came. I waffled back and forth whether it even come tonight.
Sure.
But now I'm just kind of piqued my interest.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
You might stay close as well if we have any questions. Sure, yeah.
What hardship are you foreseeing that this is going to put on to you?
You're going out to the road 10 feet closer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just the view of being able to see the road on this, it's that much more to where you're peeking out of that driveway to go left, if I went left. The traffic, I guess, is one issue. I mean, it might work out fine, but I just don't know. That's one of my one concern. I don't know. And as far as back slope being severe, yep, it's severe. I like that. From one, I could go from there to College of the Ozarks without hitting another house. It's severe. There's no doubt about it.
Thank you.
Thank you. As far as house design or anything like that, that's really not what we are looking at. We are looking at the placement of the structure and where the setbacks would be,
right,
regardless of what the structure looks
foundation
like.
Foundation or overhang?
Overhang. Yeah. So, you know, what the applicant, if there are some changes or whether there are or not, the applicant then would have to design their structure around those requirements, including overhang, width, that type of thing.
Right now, it's designed with the variance involved, right?
Well, that's the request. That's why they're here.
Okay.
So, you know, otherwise, if it fit, they wouldn't. None of us would be here tonight.
Right.
So, but yes, as far as actually what it looks like or anything like that, that's really not what we're here for at all. I hope that helps answer.
How do you define overhang?
Bob? Pretty simple, I think.
Yeah, basically, I mean,
I don't remember exactly how we talked about that, so there is a definition that he could provide for you, but it's going to be the...
But essentially...
The thought behind that is that we didn't want, you know, wherever the farthest point of the structure sticks out.
Yeah.
To the property line, that's where you measure from.
It's
right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, it just states measurements to the structure shall be made to the part of the structure that's closest to the property line. So
whatever exactly what right. you said, that roof line essentially.
Right, which generally speaking, that's the overhang.
So structure and overhang, same thing?
No.
No.
That's foundation wall, isn't it? Structure?
No, the structure, it would include overhang, foundation wall, gutters, all that stuff, right?
Exactly.
So.
So basically, whatever sticks out the furthest, that's yeah. where the measurements are taken.
We're going to be 15 feet off the roof, right?
You could be, yes. If the request is to be able to build the closest point of the structure right. is 15 feet off the road, and the amended request is to be able to build 5 feet from the property line on either side. Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
What was it before amended?
Well, 7 foot is standard, 7 foot minimum, and what they're requesting now is instead of 7 foot from the property line, 5 feet from the property line for the structure. Actually, on both sides, if I understand correctly.
Correct.
So it's a little out of ordinary what we're doing here, but, you know, do you have any comments about that? I want to make sure that, because that is a change. Okay. Any questions for either the applicant or Mr. Bishop?
I have one of the applicant. When you realize that we're measuring from the roof line or the overhang and requested, you know, a 2 foot variance on both sides, I want to be sure that you can move that house, that your front, you're still fine with the front, that you can move it back far enough that you're comfortable there, so we're not granting more than the 15. Am I correct on assuming that?
Yeah, the 15 foot is if I have to move the house forward 2 or 3 feet, you know, because of ground or whatever for safety, for building it on that slope. That's what I'm doing that 15 foot for.
And you're comfortable with the front?
I'm comfortable with the foot. Am I going to use 15 feet? I hope not. If I use 2 or 3
Actually, feet, if you're going to use 10 feet, just want to make sure we're clear
on
that.
I'm sorry. Okay. 10 feet, yes. Thank you for correcting me. I just got you to admit to 15 feet.
That's why they pay us the
big
bucks.
Yeah, I pay you the big bucks. But the 2 feet, when they started mentioning this, this is something that I personally overlooked. This is all new to me. Down in Texas, I built a home down there, and it was a whole different ball game. But that 2 foot, am I going to use it? I hope not. But if I have it, I have it. You know, because like you said, I think it's to the edge of the gutter. If the gutter sticks out, okay. Then I'm covered. You know, I'm covered within that 2 feet because I'll tell the contractor, we got to stay. I mean, we got to stay at least a foot away from that the 5 foot. Stay 6 foot away. I don't care if we got to take it somewhere out of the garage or whatever, but we're not going to get anywhere close to that 2 feet, you know, because I know Bob will come out and check me, you know. But what I'm just trying to say is I'm trying to cover all my bases before we start designing to make sure that we shoot the elevations and that we can get this thing built and get it built safely. That's the biggest thing. It's a weird-shaped lot. If you honestly saw it, you're going like, okay, it's weird. From the picture, it kind of goes out, and then it comes back in, which it doesn't really show in that picture.
That's right.
But it does come back in. So that farthest rock out there is out about 10, 12 feet jutting out.
Okay.
Then it comes back in that far. So I've got to somehow deal with all of that.
Okay.
You know.
That's the polygon I didn't understand.
Yeah, that's that big
angle.
Rock there, that big rock that juts out by, I'm going to call it the blue house, because everybody can see that from the viewpoint.
Okay.
It's
The house to the south.
Yeah, right. The house to the south.
Where the yellow line is to that driveway.
And this is a weird...
Oh,
it's okay. It's kind of a side view, right. So it kind of skews it a little bit. It
should be a if I kind of show you, that's kind of a...
It's hard to show it. It really is.
Well, right there. You see that rock? Mm-hmm. That goes out as far as that fence, but then as it comes back towards this young lady, it comes way back in. So is that solid underneath there? Is there rock underneath there? I don't know. And I'm hearing from a man that owned the lot next door, said there's no ravine in there. The gentleman sold me the lot.
No,
said
the definition of a ravine is different to everybody.
Well, I know, but what I'm just trying to say is I don't know until we start digging in there.
Okay. Thank you. Stay up there. We might. I don't know if we have any more questions for you. I just don't want to. There's no reason to go down that road any more than we need to. So, any other questions for the applicant?
So it's possible that you may not even need a variance at all.
This is true. But because of this, I was advised to turn around and get one. Okay? If I need it, great. You know, again, like I said, if I only have to use 2 feet, great, to bring that house back to where it's going to sit on that and safely sit there without worrying about it settling or going, you know.
Well, I would think from a viewpoint you would want it back as far as possible for your view.
Right.
However, when we look at it, we're going to look at it as you're going to build to the very front of the variance, to the very side of the variance, because that's what we want to do. But it's, you know.
Okay.
But it's nice to hear that you're not necessarily going to do that.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I understand his point of view, because a gentleman up the street has a garage within 5 feet of the road. When he backs out, he's already out in the road.
Right.
So, and I'm trying to accommodate him, you know, and I understand his concerns.
Sure. Okay.
You know, I mean, if I have it, great. If I don't use it all, great.
Okay.
But I have it just to cover my bases so I don't have to come back here again and go through this.
Very good. I know we're rough. So,
and Bob is mean.
He is. That's true.
I just have a comment that might clear up one question a little bit. As far as when you leave your driveway, the fact that we're dealing with the overhang and not the structure of the house, that'll make it give you 2 foot more of visibility of being able to get that clear view of leaving your driveway. Since it's the overhang, that would allow you to, you know, see the cars, you know, coming from that direction.
Right.
Oops, sorry. I was just trying to find.
Okay. One other comment.
Yes, sir.
On this gentleman's driveway, I think if you see it, it's horseshoe-shaped. So you would come in, let's say you came in, right there.
Yeah.
So you got...
Oops, sorry.
Yeah, you got that horseshoe shape.
Sure.
Okay. So insofar as visibility, I mean, and I don't want to hamper him there. I mean, nothing personal, sir, but... I guess use that as a vacation home?
I
don't know, but it's...
Talk...
Oh, excuse me.
It's okay.
I mean, as far as I know, I mean, I've never seen anybody there because I like to talk to them and introduce myself. So, I mean, that's neither to hear nor there.
Well, see, if nothing else, we got you guys to meet tonight.
That's right.
No,
so there
that's
you go.
True. That's so, true. I met this gentleman. It was great.
Yeah.
Because now, you know...
There you go. Okay.
But I'm just trying to accommodate him.
Sure. We appreciate that. Yeah. Any other questions? I would entertain a motion.
Did we? Yeah. Did Bob change that?
Yeah.
Is it changed?
So it's changed to what he requested.
And did I get this right? Are we looking at 2 foot? Okay.
I would make a motion to grant this request as it's written.
Okay. We have a motion to approve the request as it's written. Do we have a second?
You do.
Second.
Got a second?
Yes, sir.
Alan? Okay. Any other discussion? Roll call vote. Mr. Lawson?
Yes.
Mr. Mullen?
Yes.
Mr. Weiss?
Yes.
Mr. Pingleton also votes yes. It passes. Thank you for your time. Thank you, sir.
What's the next step after this? Then he can take his house and build his house? Or
Bob?
He'll still have to apply for a
a building permit for a Division I permit, and...
Do you have one already?
No, I haven't applied for a building permit. I have to have plans first, and then I go to...
And
I've got to have plans.
And he'll also be connecting to
sewer. I couldn't draw the specific plans because I didn't know if this was going to go through or not. And
sure. You know, so next step is to get the building permit. So
yeah.
That could, and but he's not required to do that. He doesn't have to do anything from here if he doesn't want to. Right.
No, exactly.
Okay.
And is that it? Taney County, once the building permit's issued, what other inspections are there?
There's no construction inspections.
Correct.
So the inspections would be from our standpoint to make sure it's done properly as drawn, right?
And in this instance, we'll just confirm that that he meets the amended setback requirements. That
right.
And that he's connected to a proper wastewater system.
Right.
That he's...
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next item on our agenda is, we're going to run through these pretty quick. We're about done, aren't we? Okay.
Yeah.
The minutes for July 15th, 2015. And we also have minutes for October 21, 2015. Did you all get an opportunity to take a look at those? If so, we'll do them separately. I would entertain a motion for July 15, 2015 approval minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Motion to approve. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion about the July 15, 2015 minutes? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Same for October 21, 2015.
I'll make a motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Minutes are approved for 2015. I'm getting hungry, guys. Can you tell?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, old and new business.
I really don't have anything other than just to say we do have one application for next month, and it looks like that'll be it.
Is Benita going to sing her cantata for us?
And wow. She's going to do an early presentation of the...
Okay. All right. Goodness. Okay.
Just have one question. Bob, was your printer running out of ink? It was really hard to see a lot of this time.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. It probably was. I'm bad about putting together for 2 days. Large
yeah, and also, does everybody really need all those zoom in pictures?
I don't.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I need very little of that stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
If you just buy us iPads and send those to us, it would probably save the county money.
That's true.
So, one more thing. Sorry, pardon?
For the iPads.
Yeah, there you go. Are you saying pray? Or? Yeah. As I'm sure you guys know, Ronnie Melton passed away. And the staff on our behalf, is that correct, sent flowers? Is that right? There is no budget for that. Can't use public funds for that. So if you're so inclined to contribute back to the staff for some of those, I think that would be greatly appreciated, but that's completely up to you guys. I didn't even know that before, that they don't do that, but learned that through the last couple of times. So I think I brought my own cake for my last party. So
thank you.
For the staff.
Yes, thank you very much for that. We really appreciate it. So
and the emails.
Yes.
Notification.
Yeah. Don't like to get those, yeah. But glad to have known.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, if there's no other further business, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to
adjourn. We're adjourned. Okay.
Okay.